want to realize that Christianity is a supernatural work and a supernatural walk. And as soon as faith diminishes, so does our walk. The moment we take our eyes off the Lord, we sink. We don't do things as well as we should for God. We don't pray as we should. We don't read our Bibles as we should. We don't witness to the lost as we should. We don't live in joy as we ought. We lose it because we take our eyes off the Lord. Unbelief means powerlessness, inability to do. And there are many things in the Christian life that can only be done through faith. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we're going to be looking at the Lord Jesus walking on water. Or perhaps it's Peter's attempt to walk on water while he looked on Jesus and while he kept his eyes upon his Lord until he looked down to see those billowing waves, then he just lost it. How often that reflects our own failure to walk with the Lord. We have a hymn today. It was down at the feet of Jesus. We have a question now for us. Why is it vital for a born-again Christian to do God's will in his life? Well, this is a most general question, but really sets us thinking. I'll answer this in a number of ways. First of all, God blesses obedience. God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." The Lord Jesus said, John 14:23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So the only way to have real fellowship with God is to love him, which will manifest itself in doing his will or keeping his commandments. This is the rule of the Father and Son relationship. The will of the Father becomes the immediate delight of the true Son. It is the spirit of adoption at work in the heart. Also, God redeemed us to be a holy people. God did not send his Son to the cross to purchase people who will continue in their sins. That would be Israelites who are liberated from Egypt, but want to stay in Egypt rather than go out to serve and worship the Lord. In Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 11, we are told, "For by grace the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Then, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God plants his word in our hearts. Therefore we are to be an obedient people that love to do his will. The mark of the new covenant or the new birth in our hearts is that the law of God is written on the fleshly tables of our hearts. In the miracle of regeneration, God does heart surgery by planting his law or word in our hearts. We therefore delight in it and do not find God's law grievous, but agreeable to our new natures. We are commanded to be doers of his word and not hearers only. This is a mark of our conversion and separation from the phony professor of religion. This was the word of the Lord Jesus when he gave the example of the foolish man building on the sand versus the wise man building on the rock. Those who heard the word but did not become doers of God's word were builders on sand. Only those who heard and obeyed were like a man building on the rock. We are to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the central petition in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there is no devil. In heaven there is no flesh to hinder. In heaven the old carnal fleshly nature is gone. Souls in heaven are pure spirit and glorified. The good angels are the Lord's messengers, who do God's bidding instantly and without question. Saints gather around the throne to worship the Lamb day and night. His will is their command and their song of delight. By a work of grace in his heart, the law-abiding Christian delights in the law of the Lord. Keeping God's law and doing God's will becomes his passion. Therefore, to God's will is our delight. Let the passion of the man of Psalm 1 be your passion. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so, if you ask the question, why is it vital for a Christian to do God's will in his life? I would say to prove that he is a Christian, or to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident that he is born of God, because everyone that is born of God delighteth in his commands. So, we're to be a holy people, a happy people, and a law-abiding people. May the Lord minister to your heart today. We're turning now to our hymn, It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus, the Whitfield Choir. We've just read this story of Peter stepping out of the boat, walking on the water for a little, and what a miracle. What a thought that he would even try it. The other disciples didn't even venture out at all. Peter gets a whole lot of flack because he tried something and failed, but the other fellows didn't even try it. I take it as a wise statement that I comfort myself with, yet that it's the man who never made a mistake never made anything. And here is Peter, and he becomes a great example to us of what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. He didn't make it all alone. If the Savior hadn't been there, we're not sure what have happened to Peter. I assume that he could swim. But can you imagine what it would have been like for him to swim back and clamber into the boat? Those other disciples appear. What was wrong with you to think that you could walk in the water? And there are people saying about you today, who do you think you are that you can live an upright, godly, Christian life in the world in which we live? Who do you think you are? And here is Peter stepping out of the boat, and he's walking toward his Lord. And then the wind gets up and boisterous, and he sees the water foaming, churning around him, and he loses it. Has that ever happened to you? Is that not the story of our walk in this world? I want to realize that Christianity is a supernatural work and a supernatural walk. And as soon as faith diminishes, so does our walk. The moment we take our eyes off the Lord, we sink. We don't do things as well as we should for God. We don't pray as we should. We don't read our Bibles as we should. We don't witness to the lost as we should. We don't live in joy as we ought. We lose it because we take our eyes off the Lord. Unbelief means powerlessness, inability to do. And there are many things in the Christian life that can only be done through faith. And therefore the Lord concluded, as he said to Peter, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The Lord has also said in another occasion, according to your faith be it unto you. And so there is a calculating set of ratios here. The more you believe, the more you will do. The less you believe, the less you will do. Faith is the most important thing in the Christian life as we seek to live for God above the world. Whenever the early church were seeking a set of deacons, and they were praying for men and seeking to choose men who would serve the church as deacons in practical work, ministering to widows and so on, they sought out a man called Stephen, who was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, those two things do go together. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Someone commented to me that the picture of John Bunyan of the man pouring water on the fire while someone else on the other side was pouring water on, or pouring oil on, and hence the fire kept burning. How is it that you keep going on as a Christian? How do you keep living in a life of victory in this world day after day and year after year? It's the Holy Spirit giving you faith. Faith is vital. So we want to look at this incident here of Peter attempting to walk on the water and learn what we can of what it is to live by faith and not by sight. Faith is to seek all our strength in the Lord. Where faith is strong, we're relying on the Lord's power. That's it. End of sermon. You can go home now. If you've learned that, you can go home. That's it. Here is Peter walking in the water while he's looking to the Lord and keeps his eyes on him. It works. He doesn't sink. But the moment his eyes go down to the wind and the boisterous water around him, there he goes. He's up to the neck in water. He took his eyes off the Lord. Faith enables us to do great things for God, whereas otherwise we would be totally weak. When the Israelites went into the promised land, those spies went in. Many of those spies, they saw giants in the land. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, and they saw grasshoppers through the eyes of God, that is, through faith. And what a different perspective. When you're living in faith, you see things differently. You see them as God sees them. And what a difference that makes. If we're not living by faith, even though you might have your soul saved and you're going to heaven, not doubting your conversion, but if you're not living by faith, you're no different from the unconverted in the world who do things by natural laws alone. They just take all the advice of the world and they follow it and they get through life. And a Christian could do that too. Just follow all the natural laws of life and you get through. But it's not a life of faith. It's not living the Christian life. Trusting the arm of flesh, leaning on our own wisdom, in our own planning, in our own power, in our own skill, our past experience, that's all living by sight. And it's no different from the skills that an unconverted, unsaved person would use. Now, how do you define looking unto Jesus? We're exhorted to do that in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How do you look unto the Lord Jesus? Now, we know how Peter did it physically out on that lake as he went from boat to where the Lord Jesus was walking. He was able to gaze physically with his eyes looking on him. But a life of faith, what is it to look unto Jesus? Well, it's to believe in his deity, that he is God in the flesh. He's God. That changes everything right away. He's divine. There he is out walking in the water. He's God. This is not man. That's faith at work. You believe in his attributes as Godhead. He's omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, infallible. That's the Savior we have. That's to look unto Jesus. But also to believe in his grace, to believe in his love for you. That's walking by faith. To enjoy and apply to your own life the love of the Savior to your own heart. He has promised to be your helper, promised to be your strength. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you live in the enjoyment of it? Do you live daily in the strength? Today, I'm putting on my clothes for the day. I'm going to enjoy the strength of the Lord. Is that reality in your life? He promises to go before you in every situation. When a little child walks through the city street with a parent, it either holds the hand or walks very close to his or her parent. and wants to look up, make sure that adult is right there. The little child is conscious as walk through the city streets and all the dangers that a city street presents of cars and buses and honking horns and strangers, just to know that person's walking close by. What a difference. And keep looking just to make sure. And if we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we live in the assurance that he's with us, he's present, to help, to hold, to keep, to protect, to guide. After all, he said before he left this world, I will send you another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit. And he is the vicar of Christ, the replacement, the ambassador of the Lord, and he is with us. And so as we seek to live by faith, we draw all our strength from the Lord. Now, are you doing that? Are you living a life of faith? Or do we have to accept that rebuke? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for joining with us on the program today. If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer, and all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, B.C., V3S 1M6. We look forward to having you. Trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through his word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. Another thing about faith. Faith gives the glory to God for things accomplished. If God blessed us in our unbelief, in our prayerless, cold, dull state, and we accomplished things spiritually,
for God. In our own strength, we would say, well, I did that. And we would take the praise and we would take the honor. Well, I assure you, God will never allow that. The only way that God can use his servants is when they are full of faith. Because it is through their faith that he can use them and thereby still receive the glory and the honor. And the person who is walking and working by faith recognizes this is God. Abram did that when he left Ur of the Chaldees and he stepped out. We're told in Romans that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what faith does. It gives the glory to God. Same was said of Mary. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of all those things which were told her from the Lord. Because she believed, God could use her. God could make her the instrument of bringing our Lord Jesus into the world. Now, would you be blessed of God and used of God? You must have faith. If you're not living and walking and praying and exercising faith, God can't use you. You need to labor in the fullness of a faith life that will give all the glory and all the honor to the Lord, or else he must set you aside and choose another vessel. Faith gives the glory to God. I fear that for many Christians, if God was to use them, they would run off and say, this is just the result of natural causes. If God was to come down and do something through them, it would not be a result of much prayer. It would not be a result of much trusting and looking to the Lord. It would just be all attributed to man's set of circumstances and natural causes. And therefore, God won't do it because he is jealous of his own glory. He'll never build a church without men and women of faith. He will never bless a family without the exercise of faith. He'll never bless your life unless you are strong in faith and give the glory to God. Do you want to be used of God? I suppose that's really the first question you have to answer. Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to be the vessel that God uses? And this is what we need. This is the greatest and foremost thing. Faith first. Faith first. That's what we must seek. Another thing about faith, it steps out on the promises of the Lord. You'll notice in verse 28 in this story here of Peter walking in the water, that before he did so, he wanted the Lord to speak. And he said to him, Lord, if it be thou, that again shows you the smallness of Peter's faith here. If it be thou, you remember they were looking through the darkness and they saw a figure and they fearful it might have been a spirit, but Jesus spoke and says, fear not, it is I. And then Peter says, if it be thou. Oh, how small was his faith. And then he says, bid me come unto thee on the water. He wanted to step out at the Lord's word, the Lord's bidding. And let me say, that's wise. That's the only way we should ever make our decisions and step out in life, is when the Lord bids us. And Peter had the word of the Lord to stand on as he would get out of that boat. And it was on that basis that he was able to walk on water, because it was the command of the Lord. You see, faith stands upon the promises. Are you doing that? Let's examine this now. Are we really standing on the promises of God day by day, facing the tasks of life and saying, the Lord has a word about that. Let's look it up. Let's get our Bible. Flick the pages. Get the concordance. Turn on the computer. Let's find that promise that God has given and stand on it. Faith will do that. Faith will lead you to say, Lord, speak to me. Give me a word. And if God has spoken, then we can step out. Are you using God's word in a faith-like manner? Or is it just a routine exercise? Oh, I've done my devotions for today. I've read a certain amount of verses, spent a certain number of minutes. Are you just a Bible researcher or sermon taster? I have to challenge you about this. Are we really living a life of faith, standing upon the promises? I fear that at times we are acting no more different than carriers of letters for Canada Post. You see them walking with these bulging bags of mail. What are they doing with it? Putting it through the slots of other people's mailboxes. And no matter what the content, no matter what the bills or the checks that are contained in those daily routes, it has nothing to do with the carrier. He's just slotting them in. And sometimes people carry their Bibles, and that's about all they are, carriers of a Bible. And the content, it has no impact upon your life. Doesn't change your walk. Doesn't change your service for God. Unbelief does that. It's unbelief that does that. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when we worry, and when we get into a panic, and when we disturb ourselves, and God has spoken. God has spoken. But we're not standing on the promises. Let me ask you, is there a promise on the Bible that's yours? Is there a promise that's yours? You've taken that and you said, Lord, I'm going to use this in my life. Now, how old is that promise? Was it 25 years ago you did that? What about 2010? What about this new year? Have you got promises that you're standing on? Do you step out into the future of a new year and all that it brings to you? And you're leaning on the word of the Lord. That's faith. That's the exercise of faith. Faith takes that word to heart. And it applies it. Surely it's time for you to start digging out the promises and exercising faith in this book that we love. Not just the theology of it, but the promises of it. And may the Lord stir your heart to use God's word with much faith.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.